is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Tom Joslin, the Senior Fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleague Bill Raggio and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. The story so far of the vast Ummah, the canvas between the Mediterranean and the Hindu Kush, battling with radical and destructive elements, one of which is the Taliban, most recently in the news because of the U.S. and NATO withdrawal from Afghanistan. However, also most recently, Tom testified in Washington, an ordeal for anyone. I've never done it, but I've watched it enough to know the preparation is everything. Tom testified to two different committees. I'm interested most, armed forces and banking. I'm interested mostly right now in his testimony to banking, because in Generation Jihad, the podcast that Tom and Bill produced for us on the Long War Journal site, there was lengthy discussion about different senators asking different questions of Tom about what is to be done, what happens now. We can see the retreat in Kabul and the fall of the Afghan government over these last months. But what is in front of us is fog of war. So I begin with welcoming Tom, and Tom and I have discussed how we will acknowledge the loss of Colin Powell, a very sturdy representative of both the U.S. Army and the U.S. State Department for many years. The news is unhappy for anyone's death, but especially because Colin Powell, the report is, has succumbed to COVID-19, the virus. Tom, your thoughts about losing Colin Powell. He was there at the beginning of the Afghan conflict, and right now he's left us at what you'd say is a turning point. You make a wonderful wit about that, Tom, but a turning point in the Afghan conflict for what happens next. What do you remember about Colin Powell, Tom, early on in your reporting?
Well, you know, John, I think Colin Powell obviously was involved at the very beginning of the war in Afghanistan. And I always think back to this list of demands that he and his right-hand guy at the time, Dick Armitage, at the State Department, delivered to the Pakistani state immediately following 9/11. There were a whole series of demands that the American government placed on the Pakistanis, including, you know, reining in the Taliban and al-Qaeda and various aspects of it. And when you go back and revisit that list, there's 10, 11, something like that, bullet points on it. It's quite clear that the Pakistani state only complied with about one of those demands over the course of the 20 years. That was allowing basically NATO to come and go from Afghanistan and resupply and move personnel and machinery and weaponry into Afghanistan. Basically, every other demand on that list, the Pakistani state either didn't comply with it at all or only half-heartedly complied with it in the initial sort of period post 9/11. And I think that that speaks to the broader American government failure here. One of the things that I've been testifying about and talking about on the podcast is that, you know, people are wondering, you know, why was Afghanistan such a debacle? I mean, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, we're not going to be able to summarize them all. But one of them is just the total lack of any kind of clear leadership over time. And I think the U.S. government made these demands under Colin Powell and Dick Armitage and never followed up on it, never really kept the pressure on the Pakistani state to comply with them. And so one of the things I told the Senate Banking Committee, for example, is that the U.S. provided more than $30 billion in military assistance and military reimbursements to the Pakistani state since 2001. And that clearly did not provide any sort of leverage for the U.S. over the Pakistanis when it came to harboring, facilitating, and supporting the Taliban and the Taliban senior leadership, including the Haqqani network. So, you know, when I made that argument for Senate Banking, I was trying to basically pop a bubble here. There's all this Washington speak, John, you know, about these different issues. And one of them is that we can have leverage over these different actors. And I just don't see it. But I come back to Colin Powell's original list of demands as a strong piece of evidence that America never really had leverage over the situation.
Let's go immediately to the Senate Banking Committee, because we're looking forward. You note in your conversation with Bill Raggio, and everyone can listen to these remarks on Generation Jihad, which is posted on the Long War Journal site. Senator Warren attended both of your testimonies to armed forces at Senate and to banking at Senate, and she had a list of remarks including quotes over the years, 20 years, of various officials in both parties, three governments, now four governments, Mr. Bush, Mr. Obama, Mr. Trump, and Mr. Biden, talking about turning the corner, turn this, turn that. And you make the dry remark, they turned so much they went back to the beginning. What is it that Senator Warren wanted to impress upon her colleagues in the Senate and the American people in these remarks, Tom?
I mean, basically she and others are criticizing the U.S. military leadership. And I think, you know, from talking to Bill and me for so many years, John, that we've been critical as well of the generals and leadership because, you know, when they were saying that they were turning the corner in Afghanistan, the phrase that they kept mindlessly repeating over and over again and Senator Warren brought up, you know, Bill and I were saying that wasn't the case, that in fact, you know, my quip is that they turned the corner so much that they turned right back into the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. And we were saying all along the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan is coming back, and this doesn't really make any sense. So she's trying to that line of attack, and I think it's a legitimate line of attack. I mean, there's other things I don't agree with her on, but on this I do agree. What I would say is that the problem I have is that I do think the U.S. military leadership failed here in many ways. I think that those failures took place within a political context, however. If you go through the history of the war in Afghanistan, there was ambivalence, really, from the senior political class, senior political leaders, really from the Oval Office on down, about how and even why and even whether, I should say, America should be fighting in Afghanistan. And so the military's leadership failed, but it failed in the context of broader political failures as well, I would say.
Turning to other remarks from the Senate banking now, we're concentrating on that. The GOP you mentioned was keen on talking about the catastrophe of the withdrawal, the haphazardness, the rush, and the absence of forward thinking about maintaining Bagram as the point of exit and not the international airport at the center of Kabul that could not be protected, hence the catastrophe of the evacuation and the suicide bomber, however that happens. However, in the course of your remarks with your colleague Bill, what I learned is that even though there was chaos and withdrawal from the end, your measure is that the withdrawal didn't need to wait 3 months, that the Afghan government was always failing, and that there was no decent interval or whatever metaphor they used between when the president made the decision to leave and the actual leaving. It could have been done in an afternoon immediately after that and not wait for the Afghan government to fail. Was the Afghan government always going to fail, Tom? Did we build a government that could not succeed?
You know, I mean, counterfactuals are difficult, John. All I could say is the way this actually played out over time, going back many years, I think it was inevitable that it was going to fail. And I don't think that Bill and I ever came to a different conclusion or ever had a different prediction. Like to us, it was always a matter of when, not if. One of the things I would say here, and, you know, I had this exchange with Senator Warren. I don't think I was really as clear as I should have been really in explaining this, but she was talking about, you know, how, you know, basically withdrawing was the right decision and this and that. And I didn't necessarily really fully disagree with her. But part of what I was trying to say, if I were going to posit a counterfactual, one of the things America didn't do, and it's very curious, is that it basically held up Ashraf Ghani as the president of Afghanistan, held him in place, even as senior political leaders and cabinet officials and others knew that Ghani was a failing president, that he couldn't actually hold his government together and that he was going to fail. If I had to run it all over again, I was saying this at the time years ago to these same officials, you know, let the Afghans sort it out. Let them pick a leader. Let them fight for themselves, figure out somebody that they want that maybe can be more of a brass knuckler than sort of a pseudo-intellectual academic, which is what Ghani is and was. You know, in Afghanistan in particular, you want somebody who's a brawler who can maybe, you know, really fight it out as opposed to somebody who is, you know, authoring specious books about saving failed states, which is what Ghani did prior to being president of Afghanistan. You know, so this is the conundrum here or the real contradiction in the policy of America was that America held this guy in place as the leader of Afghanistan, president of Afghanistan, even though everybody recognized he wasn't succeeding. It's totally bizarre. Now, it doesn't mean that if they had let them play it out and let somebody else replace him, that person would have succeeded or kept it together. But at least it would have given you some chance of that outcome, as opposed to what we thought was a 0% chance of anything positive coming.
I'm speaking with Tom Jossen of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's a senior fellow. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal. We're focused especially on Tom's remarks with his colleague Bill Raggio on the podcast, reflecting upon Tom's testimony before the U.S. Senate within these last days, especially to the Banking Committee of the U.S. Senate. And when we come back, a commission to review the defeat in Afghanistan, a 20-year commission. Is it practical? What can it give us today that will help us into the future? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.